Let's turn to God's Word. God's Word into 2 Peter and chapter 3. I think there's a verse in there that you should know. I hope you do. But let's see. So, it's entitled The Day of the Lord. 2 Peter and chapter 3. Peter is concluding and bringing his thoughts together from 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as a reminder to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed. The earth was formed out of water and by water. By those waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Remember now, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Listen to this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, are you looking forward to this? Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I'm sure God is going to bless his word to us. You know, it's lovely to be with you this morning. It's lovely. I love the way that you worship. I love the way that you sing together. And it's a privilege to just be here and be with you. Ursula sends her greetings to you. I think, as I mentioned last time, we are in the season of growing grandchildren. So it's an awful lot of fun, mostly. But as those of you who know grandchildren, they've all gone back to school the other week, and they enjoyed the Suffolk Show. I don't know if you enjoyed the Suffolk Show, but some people, they go there. Well, we got a call from Leanne, and probably 2 years ago, we got some quails. We like a summer project. So we got some quail's eggs, and we put them in the incubator, and we hatched them out over the summer. And we had lots of fun with quails going flying over people's gardens, and all sorts of chaos erupted. Leanne brought 6 chicken eggs. So we are now 12 weeks away from the date. So there we have them. So they're in the incubator, they are the eggs. And so we are waiting for the hatching moment. Okay, so you can imagine the excitement is beginning to build, isn't it? The excitement is beginning to build. We love a project. So it's great, isn't it? Great for the children. And I must admit, I like it as well. I like it as well. I couldn't really cope with the quails because they go from... Do you know what quails are like to keep? Chickens are okay, they kind of walk around, have a little bit of a flap and go back. Quails, when they get scared, they go straight up. Straight up. It's like a helicopter. It's like boom. And before you know where it was, they're over the neighbour's garden. So we've had various people chasing quail in the neighbourhood. But it's been an interesting thing. But anyway, summer project, we've got 6 chicken eggs due to hatch. So, you can imagine, if they don't hatch, it's going to be really, really disappointing, isn't it? Yeah?
They're asleep.
It is. They're asleep until they hatch, yes. But when they hatch, it's very, very exciting. I can remember the quails hatching. I can remember the grandchildren coming round, looking, and just like, it's cracking. It's like, and there's something magical, isn't there? Watching something coming out of an egg and growing. Okay. We're going to be looking at your verse of the year. And you know, often verses, I guess, get preached at, but this is your verse of the year, isn't it? We can go back to that. We'll go back to the first one again. So just reminding you, so grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Has everybody learned that off by heart? Does everybody know that? If I come and test you in a few moments, are you going to remember? We'll only make Di suffer because you gave it to me. Okay, so... Now, this is your verse of the year, as I understand. Now, this verse packs a punch. It demands action and has something to say. But I wonder if you have acted on it. I wonder how much space you have given it. It's been a delight to contemplate and chew it over. And I'm praying that God will move us this morning, speak clearly into our hearts and move us forward. Give us a fresh desire to follow Jesus Christ. A fresh desire to live and honour him in everything that we do. So first, I wanted to look, before we go any further, it's helpful sometimes to look at who's speaking. Do you know what it is? You know when somebody makes a bold statement and says something, and the first thing that you do is you look at who said it. You know, your child may come home and say, come out with this statement of fact, and you say, where did you get that from? Where did you get that? Who said it? Who said that Beckham was the best footballer ever? Who said such an outlandish, outrageous thing? But we need to check and we need to go back, don't we, and we check. So when we read something, it's good, isn't it, to look at who's speaking. So we're in Peter. This verse is in Peter. Your verse is in Peter. And I want to, just for a few seconds, look at Peter. Because sometimes how you receive something depends on how you relate to the person. Yeah? Okay, so often in life we take notice first because we have a connection with the person speaking. Somebody saying something and we take hold of it based on our thoughts about the person. If it's a mum and dad, we filter it. And if it's a brother and sister, maybe, depends on how you're getting on at the time. Okay, close friend or then, but you get the idea. We filter, don't we, according to what we think about the person or the situation. That's what we do. We can't help it, we do it. So what do you think about this verse, but what do you think about Peter? So we hear so much today, don't we, about being a follower. Well, have you heard that they keep talking about it? They're an influencer. You keep hearing that? I keep hearing that word. They're an influencer. And I think, who are they influencing then? What are they saying? I've never heard of them. But it's a real sort of word, isn't it, going around. But Peter, he burst into the scene, you know, in John 1, verse 35. And that day, we haven't got time to read it, but you can read it later. John 1, verse 35. That day, everything changed for Simon, because that was his name. God changed his name and said, I'm going to give you a new name, Peter. In a few chapters in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, we read, as Jesus was walking beside the sea. So this is the second time Jesus is going to see Peter. First time in John, second time in Matthew. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, because the Lord had already changed his name, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, no hesitation, at once, verse 20, they left their nets and they followed him. That day changed Peter Simon's life forever. Changed it completely. Peter was a fisherman, so let's just look at this. Peter was a fisherman. We learned that he was quite full on, good energy. He was called by God to be a disciple and a fisher of men. He walked on the water. Remember that? Peter walked on the water. How about that? What a conversation starter. Hey? Peter walked on the water. He was trusted with John to sort the final Passover together. Trusted. He carried a sword and he cut a high priest's servant ear off in defense of Jesus. He really was that sort of guy. He was a man of action. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He was being with him. But he had that strong desire, that connection. Do you know what that strong desire to defend someone at all costs? You feel like that about anybody? Husband, wife, child? Yeah? Have that bond, that love, that deep-rooted love that you would do anything to help them, to save them? He carried a sword. But then he denied Jesus. But he knew the love of the Saviour. All of these experiences made up Peter. They made the kind of person that he was when we're reading in 2 Peter, in these two letters. This is the guy. Jesus met with him and changed his life. And he had all sorts of experiences that he could draw on. To write. All sorts of occasions where he saw the Lord intervene in people's lives. All sorts of stuff. He walked on the water. He knew what it was like to see miracles. That was all the well that Peter could draw from. Incredible. Incredible. And he was a witness, as we said, to countless miracles. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was 100% committed to Jesus Christ and his church after Jesus went back to heaven. Wow. Okay. So this is the guy. And he's talking here. So he's had a rich life. All sorts of things. He's known ups and downs. He's known tragedy. He's known the sadness of seeing the one he followed go to the cross and die for him. He's seen all of this. And here he is later in his life. And he's encouraging the church. He's encouraging the Christians. And that's what 1 Peter is doing, isn't it? Encouraging them, building them up, trying to get alongside them and help them. That's Peter's life. That's what he's devoted to. And then he's in 2 Peter, he's warning against all sorts of problems that the church may encounter, we may encounter. Situations coming in, scoffers coming in, people that will ridicule the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People that won't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many doubters, many comers, and Peter is saying, hold fast. And he's trying to build the church up. He's trying to get them moving forward. And at the end of this letter, we get that wonderful verse. You know, you've heard all this, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. But then he says, but grow. You've heard all that I've had to say. You've heard all I've had to say. But grow. And if we could come to slide 3 now, please. Okay. I love it. I can wave at people. I can see people. That's it. Okay, so grow. Did you know that God loves things to grow? So the first point is this. God has designed things to grow. It's incredible, isn't it? You know, I told you about the eggs. But if the eggs stay eggs, well, we can boil them, we can eat them. But the thing is, they grow new life. And there's nothing more fantastic when you see the hatched egg and a little chick. And I think God smiles at that, and we smile at that, don't we? Hands up if I give you some seed and nothing happens, and you just go home and you put it into, maybe you could frame it as a seed. Would you be happy? Would anybody be happy if I gave you seeds just to put up and to just look at? No? Yes? Some of you would, you're not sure. See, but the thing is that seeds want to grow because God designed them to grow, and God loves it when things grow. He loves it. It gives him great pleasure. He loves it. And if seed just stays seed and doesn't grow, where's the excitement in that? But when things develop and grow, if children stay children, is that good or not? Now, I have a problem with this because I keep saying to the children, every time they have a birthday, I say, can you slow down? Can you slow down? Can you not grow? And she said, okay, I'll be 7. Then a little bit later, she said, but I want to know 8. And I said, but I want you to stay 7. So there's a little bit of an eye. But things grow, don't they? People grow, we grow, we're different to last year, aren't we? We're different to when we were in our teens, when we were young. We've grown, haven't we? Because God designed us like that. We grow. Second point is this. Growing is fun. It's exciting and amazing to watch. And I want you to get hold of some of the excitement because that's the way God planned it. God, He loves it. He absolutely loves it. And when we grow, isn't it? When you instruct a child, and when you build a child up and you teach it certain things, don't you? So we've been having a bit of an experiment. So we're trying to engage the children to conversation, all right? So that situation where you can sit down with a teenager or that, and you can say, how are you? What's going on? And they say, don't know. That some of them are brilliant, okay? And some people are brilliant too. But you know what it's like, we've been saying, so you ask me a question. Have you ever done that? So you ask me a question, okay? So we've been saying, so the children every now and again, so they'll sit there and they'll say, how was your day? I said, thank you very much for asking. Thank you very much for asking. And when we try and have a little bit of a conversation. And it's great, isn't it, when we see growth and when we can see things happening. Because it's fun, isn't it? It's exciting, isn't it, to have a conversation. It's not so much fun if you can't have a conversation or nobody wants to talk to you, or if the seeds that you planted in the greenhouse, they didn't come up. They didn't come up and nothing's happening. But I love it, the different seasons of a garden, the different seasons, the leaves come, they go, then they come back. And it's a circle of life, isn't it? And God designed things to grow. And He's designed you to grow. And Peter is saying, I want you to grow. I want you to grow. I don't want you to stay the way that you are. I want you to grow. That's important. Next point is this. God wants you to reach your full potential, growing up, to be mature. Don't stay like you are. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Saviour and friend, I don't know when you did that. Maybe last year, maybe this year, maybe years ago. But can I ask you a personal question? Have you grown? Have you grown? Have you changed? Have you changed? Have you altered your view on anything? Has God's word meant something and said something to you and you thought, didn't realise that, and you've grown and you've accepted God's word and you understand it in a different way to when you first believed, and you've grown and you're growing up and you're now involved in different things because God wants you to grow, and it's fantastic, it's exciting to grow. And I think sometimes we forget that we have a God who loves growth. He loves different things. My grandchildren will always say, why does God love blue and green the best? And I don't know. I don't know why God loves blue and green the best. Maybe we can have a discussion on it. But there are certain things, aren't there? When we open our eyes and when we look around, we see stuff. We grow. We take it in. So growing up is exciting, but it doesn't stop there. Grow in the grace. What on earth does that mean? Grow in the grace. It says, grow in grace and understanding of our Master and Saviour, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Glory to the Master now and forever. Okay, so Peter is speaking here and we're leaning in. But you see, Peter describes something else that's going on here. And if I can find my place, I've lost my place now, you see. Hold on a moment. So grace, we need to remember, is something that we haven't earned. So grace is God's undeserved favour. So Jesus Christ died and paid the price for my sin, and I've been adopted into the family of God. So this word grace is important, because you see, there's nothing I did to earn it. Nothing I did to earn it. This is all of God. This is God's sight. God has lavished his love upon us. That's what the Word of God said. He loves us so much. So let's get this clear. This is the bit where it's nothing about us. We can't earn his grace. We can't earn his love. We had no part in it. But God showed and demonstrated in Romans 5 verse 8, his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Grace. He paid the price for our sins. You see, that's what Jesus Christ did for us. He did it for every one of us. He paid the price for our sins by going on the cross at Calvary. He laid down his life. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that I can do to make God love me more. He loves me unconditionally, wholeheartedly. He loves me. He's showered his grace upon us. It's all undeserved. I can't earn it. I can only receive it. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. It means to take hold of what God has done, to understand it, to lean in, to understand that the Saviour of the world has done all this for us to live, to move, to go through life knowing our destination. You see, it's important, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This grace that's been poured in us has an eternal element, because it's about the future, and our future in Christ is secure because of his grace that's been showered upon us. Peter was saying to the people that he was speaking to, he said, I saw him. I was with him. I knew what it was. I saw the way that he was. I saw the way his face shined sometimes. I saw him praying. I saw the miracles. I can testify that this was the Son of God. I saw it. I bear testimony. What do you bear testimony of? Have you ever prayed and God answered a prayer that you've prayed? Have you known the joy of that? Where you've just got down and you've prayed and God answered your prayer? Have you known the joy of answered prayer? Where are you today? What are you doing with your life? How are you coping with the different things that come into your life? Sometimes it's like a whirlwind, isn't it? Life can be going along in a nice pattern and suddenly a whirlwind happens. Maybe illness. Maybe a work situation, maybe something with the grandchildren or a family, and everything is knocked off kilter, but it was going along fine. And you're leaning into God now because you're asking God to intervene, and you're holding on, but it's tough. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in knowledge. Move the slide on. Live in a way that reflects what I have in Christ. Live a holy life. You see, when we've been showered with grace, Peter is saying that you need to conduct yourself in a certain way. So live a holy life. Conduct yourself in the right way. Show love as we have been shown love. Grow in grace. You see, there needs to be a change in the way that we live. If we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into our life and into our hearts, Peter is saying you need to grow. You need to conduct yourself in the right way. You need to live a holy life. It matters how you treat each other. It does. It really does. He's talking about husbands and wives. He's talking about people in leadership. He's talking about the different roles that we carry and we act on. He's talking about the way that we conduct ourselves matters. Why? Why does it matter? Because it points to the Saviour. It points to the one that we say that we believe in and we trust. So we need to act in a certain way. We need to love in a certain way. Peter says, love deeply. Don't be half-hearted. We can live half-hearted lives sometimes, can't we? Do you imagine following a football team and just saying, oh, hope you get on all right, guys. Hope you get on all right. Enjoying, you know, it's a little bit half-hearted, not really committed. Then there's the other thing where you're pumping the air and you're shouting and you're driving them on. And you're wanting something to happen. You're wanting the goal to be scored. And you're wanting your nephews and you're wanting your friends to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you know the one in the Word of God. You see, when you know someone, when you're in relationship, when you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you understand all that we've been brought into, that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is untarnishable. When we have all of these things in Christ, we ought to live a certain way. We do. We need to reflect the love of the Saviour. How he has loved us, we need to love and show love too. There's a world that's hurting around us. There are people in desperate situations. Some of our brothers and sisters are in prison because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them are suffering terribly because of their faith in Jesus Christ. What about you? What about me? What's God saying to you and to me about this verse? You see, knowledge. If we move on, knowledge, and bring the next thing up. You see, learning needs to lead to a change of direction and focus. Sometimes the pursuit of knowledge is fantastic, isn't it? We can learn something new every day. Every day is a learning day, isn't that right? It's what we say to the children. Every day is a learning day. We can learn something, can't we? We get up and we can learn something. But if we learn stuff for just learning's sake, and if the knowledge just puffs us up, what's the point of it? What's the point of it? You see, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and knowledge need to be bound up together because it needs to be bound up in love. It's a pointless thing. It's a pointless thing if it's just knowledge. You can ask me a question. You can ask me how many sons Noah had. You can ask me how many judges can I name? You can ask me all sorts of things. But if it's just knowledge about the Word of God, it's pointless. It's pointless. It's a bit harsh. It's pointless. But you see, the Word of God needs to impact my life. It needs to change my life because the seed is an imperishable seed. And when I come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when I realise that when he died on the cross, it was personal, it was for me. My sins have been forgiven. I place my trust in God. My future is secured. I have a place when this world and this life is drawn to an end. I have a place to go that's unique, personal for me. You see, it's personal. It's grace. And it's what he's done for me. I didn't earn it. Yet I receive it. But I need to live in the knowledge of it. It needs to change my conduct. It needs to change the way I look at people. It needs to change my relationships. It needs to change my day to day. Because the world needs to see that the Saviour of the world means something. That the knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose and the fact that we're safe in him needs to mean something. It needs to change me. It needs to have an outworking. So when Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, he's meaning it. He's summing up everything and he's saying, this needs to characterize us. This needs to be the kind of lives that we're living in. The next part says, not a puffed up kind of knowledge. We've said that. The next one, knowledge that walks with grace leads to a good understanding and prompts wholesome living. Wow. Did you get that in 2 Peter 3? Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. He's trying to stimulate us. He's trying to get us going. He's trying to inspire us to move forwards. Not be content with any old life. He wants us to live a life rich for God. When was the last time you asked God for anything? When was the last time you asked God for anything? You can answer. Do you know, sometimes in our lives, we become Christians and we stay just being a Christian. That's okay, I guess. But you know, we miss out because God wants to be in relationship with us. And being in relationship means you talk, don't you? Husband and wife, closest friend, brother, sister. If you're in a relationship, you talk to each other, don't you? You're sharing your heart's fears and everything. You're getting to know each other. And it's the same with God. And imagine God's there listening. He sees you struggling at work. He sees you struggling at home. He sees whatever's going on with you. But you leave him out. You don't invite him in. And he's saying, do you want any help? Do you want to talk about it? Is there something that's on your heart? Do you want to share? Can you imagine? God loves you. And he loves me. And he's just dying for us to let him in. You know, so many times in my work life, I can remember leaving God outside of a meeting, not bringing God into a meeting. So many times. And later in the day, I suddenly thought, didn't pray about what was going on there. And I'm disappointed in myself. I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to live a life without the grace and knowledge of God going hand in hand. And also, I want to carry on growing because I think that brings delight to God. You see, when, you know, do you remember that the tree that wasn't bearing any fruit? I thought it was a bit harsh. Now I thought God could say, Jesus could say, be fruitful from now on. But no, it was harsh. It was like, no, that's not the way. You're not doing your purpose, the end. God delights to see fruit. He delights to see us moving forwards. So I wonder what God's saying to you. So just as we wrap up all this stuff, I wonder what God's saying to you about this verse. I wonder how you've been considering it. I don't know how you've been considering it. So let's grow. It's active. Something that we have to do. You can't stand still, but you can stand still. I often talk about the children in grow bags. But usually to grow, it's an active thing, isn't it? You're growing. You're developing. So I want to ask you, are you growing this morning? And are you growing in your knowledge and love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you growing in grace? Is it making a better you? Is it making a better me? How is my heart towards the things that move God's heart? That's a challenge, isn't it? The things that move God's heart, do they move my heart? Do I love my brothers and sisters? Do I love our church family? Do I care? How do I care? All of these things. But I also want to ask you if you know. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and friend? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour and friend, will you come and have a chat at the end of this time? If God's speaking to you, don't leave it. Don't go out of those doors not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and friend. So I pray that these few thoughts together will just be a challenge. They've been a challenge to me as I've looked at them. A challenge as I've reminded myself, as Peter reminded the people there about the things that he saw in Jesus Christ, bore personal testimony to. and brought to the people and went around to encourage them. So we're trying to encourage ourselves to live godly lives and to move forward. Keep it growing. Keep it moving forward in Him.